So we got to the last 10 lines of Samech Vav Amin Beis. The Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Hashad Amar Rabbanan Esmachta Lokanya. So now that we've paskined that Esmachta is not good, which means when the person who's giving the land over is not really, really convinced to give it over, it's Esmachta Balma, it's not a kinin. So then, Hadar Arav Hadre Pirig. So when the Malva, who had taken away the land, when he's required to return the land, he has to return the land in addition to returning the fruit as well. So Lameimer, is this to suggest that the Savar of Nachman Mechila Batos Lohavi Mechila? So what happens is when the Lova had given the land over to the Mocher, to the Malva rather. So he thought that the Malva had every right, the bank had every right to eat from the fruit. So he is Mochil. Now, his mechila was a toast, which is really a mistake because the bank had no right to keep the land, nor did he have any right to eat the fruit. So we see that when a person does a mechila with toast, that mistakenly the lova said you could keep eat the fruit, it was incorrect, it wasn't mechila, and the malva, the bank, must return the fruit. Since that mechila initially was betos, it's not considered mechila, and the bank returns the fruit. So is that really true? V'ha itmar ha-mocher peros deka l'chaveiro. Person sells fruit from a date tree, before the dates have grown, but he says, any dates that come from the tree, I'm going to sell to you. So Amar Rav Huna says, Ad shelo bo liolam, prior to the fruits growing into this world, yachal achzer bo, you could be chozer as long as the fruit don't grow yet. But mishabo liolam, once the fruit are in this world, then it's too late, eino yachal achzer bo, you can't return it, because it's based on the concept of Adam makne davar shelo bo liolam. So since it's not in the world yet, so look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Ad shelo bo liolam yachal achzer bo. Before the fruit grow, you could still be chozer. In ba lachzer bo kodem shechantu peros of chozer. Before they ripen, you could retract. De'afilu mandamer, even the opinion holds Adam makne davar shelo bo liolam, that you are allowed to be makne something that hasn't come into the world yet. Hani mile sheba lachzer acher sheba liolam. It's only once they come into the world is everything finalized. But so long as they haven't come into the world, the kinnin isn't final. That's according to Rav Huna. But Rav Nachman Amar, he holds, Af mishabal yolam yachal achzerbo. Even when the fruit come into the world, you could still retract, because Rav Nachman holds, Ein adam makne davar shelo bal yolam. So then on this machlokis comes along Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman comments further, Modina, I admit though, di shamet va'achil lo mafkinan minay. Any fruit that the lokeach eats in the interim, he doesn't have to return. We cannot take it out of his possession, even though the kinyan never went through because it wasn't in the world at all, lo bali olam. Still, any fruit he ate, he gets to keep. So why does he get to keep it? Does it not imply that mechila batos havi mechila? Because when I sold you the fruit, I thought any fruit you ate, you were allowed to keep. I didn't realize you weren't allowed to. So I was mochel. I was mochel for you to the fruit. But that's a mechila batos, because I didn't have to do mechila. I could have just said it, the kinyan didn't exist. But even though it's a mechila batos, we said the mechila is good, and you get to keep the fruit. But above, we just said, any fruit that the bank ate in the interim, he has to return back to me as the lover, even though it's a mechila batos. So we see mechila batos before is not a mechila, and you have to return the fruit. So it's a stira. So the Gemara answers, it depends on the context. Over there, by the case of the selling of the deka, peros deka, that was a real kinyan, it is zvine. So in the case of that, we're not concerned of any fruit he ate. It's not considered, it is considered mechila. But here, in the case of the case of the smachta lokanya, that's the context of a halva. And therefore, so it's not really an issue of mechila so much. Look at the last Rashi in the Amud. Hacha halvahi. It looks like ribis. Shemitchila b'halva balo came in the context of a halva ukaribis katsuta dami. It's like a real fledged ribis, which means we say that yote bidayon, we make them return the ribis. So since when I gave the property to the bank, in case I don't pay, the bank gets to keep it. So then I thought, since I didn't pay, they get to keep it, even though tasmachta lokanya, we say the bank doesn't keep it because it's an asmachta. The fruit he ate in the interim, he has to return, not because of mechila really, because it looks like ribis ktsut and has to return it. But the case of dekel peiros, any fruit that the lokeach ate, even the lokeach didn't end up keeping the fruit, anything he ate he's allowed to keep because it's really in the context of a zvine and not does not appear like ribis. Okay, do we have any time left? Fine. So Gemara says now, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hava yisivna kame de Rav Nachman. One time Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, and by La Osve, when he was saying this shear over, that Rava wanted to ask a question from Ona. The Odek Chazisan, and Rashi's Odek Chazisan means three lines down, Hishkiach bi the Ra Shaya Bidaiti Lahashiv Advarov. So Rav Nachman understood that Rava wanted to ask some question, and therefore he said, Chazis and Eilunas, he said, look at Eilunas, look at that for Raya. So he understood apparently what was going on, what his Hava meaning was to ask a question, and he gave him a response from Eilunas. So what's going on here? So the Gemara explains, Harei ona de mechila batalsu v'lo havi mechila. If I buy an object or sell it, and there's ona here, so you say it's not a mechila, we make you return the ona, even though it was a mechila. So we see from here, mechila batos is not a mechila, and you have to return the money. That's what I wanted to ask. But then Rav Nachman responded to me, v'odik chazisan, he showed me eilunus. When it comes to an eilunus, aray eilunus de mechila batos he v'havi mechila. When it comes to an eilunus, a woman who ends up not being able to have any children, so that's a kedushin batos, and any property or payers that she brings into that relationship, she's mochel to her husband to keep, even though it ends up being the kedushin was a hotos, she gets, the husband gets to keep the payros, even though it's a mechila batos, we say that there is a mechila. So there's a stira, by ona we say mechila batos is a mechila, you have to return the money, but by eilunus we say mechila batos is a mechila, and you get to keep the money. So how do we see this by eilunus? The Tana, the Mishnah tells us, Hamimaenis, a girl who's a katana, whose father dies. If the father's alive, the father has the right to marry her off. If she's a katana, she cannot be married off, but midrabanan, the rabbanan allowed the mother to marry her off, just so she's designated for a man, and she does not consider it a, she's not going to be hefker. She won't keep any minhag hefker, so she can marry him off, her off, rather. But at the same time, she can be mamaenis, she could refuse such a marriage. Even though she's in the marriage as a katana, married by her mother, she could just walk away if she wants, without any need for get. And Ashniya are those listed in the first mission in Yivamos, all the arayas that are only usher midrabanan. And Eilunus, as we said before, is a girl who is not able to have children. So the Mishnah says these three individuals, ain lahem lo ksuba, none of them get ksubas. Why not? So Rashi explains they don't get a ksuba in the case of Memenis. If she's divorced, sent away by her husband, normally a woman gets the ksuba. But if she walks away, the Memenis, the katana, has the right to walk away. So since she forced her husband to have the divorce, if you will, she doesn't get her ksuba there. And the reason why there's no ksuba by a shniya, if she gets married as a secondary arayos, as a derbanan, as a kanas, she doesn't get ksuba. And the eilunus doesn't get a ksuba either because the whole thing was a mekach tos. Fine. Then the Mishnah says none of these cases get lo peros, lo mizonos, lo bulos. If let's say she brings in fruit or mizonos or clothing from different places, she brings them as Yerusha, she brings it into the relationship, and her husband eats any of them, and when she leaves this relationship, she doesn't get to collect these anymore for the same exact reasons as before, because the mamenes, she left the husband's reshust against his will, and because shnia harayos, it's a knas, and eilunus because mekach talos. But we see from all this, though, any fruit that she brings in, she's mocha for her husband to keep. Even though it's a mechila batos, even though the whole kedushin was batos, we say that's a good mechila and the husband gets to keep it. But as opposed to, so that's the question we had from eilunus. So the Gemara says, Lohi, this is not a challenge. Lo ona havyat yufta, the world, the sugi of ona is not a kasha to what we said. And lo eilunus mesaylei, and eilunus isn't a support either. Meaning he's assuming mechila batos is considered mechila. Don't ask a question from Ona, and don't bring me a raya from Eilunus. Why? Lo Ona tiyufta. Ona is not tiyufta, but delo yada deisa Ona. Demachol gave. The buyer, the seller, whoever is being defrauded, didn't know that there was a Ona here to be mochel. So there's no mechila to speak of. What we've been talking about before is there was a mechila. It was a mechila based on some mistaken information. In the case of Ona, there is no mechila to speak of. He didn't even know there was a mistake to bring a mechila. That's why there's a need to return the money. But if he knew about the Ona, possibly the mechila would work. And lo eilunus mesaylei, and don't bring me a support from eilunus, denichalei de tepek Allah shma de ishus. Even though normally we might say, you can't bring a proof because maybe you would say in mechila batos is not considered mechila. By the case of eilunus, she'd rather the husband keep all the food and the payros that she brought in. She doesn't want it back because she wants it to go out that she was married. She had a shame isha. So you can imagine a girl, because she's an eilunus, can't get married ever, so she really very much wanted to feed her husband just to have that shame that she was once married. So in that particular case, the mechila will work, but in general, it's possible mechila batals is not considered a mechila. The Marna has a story here. There's once a woman, Damri Le Lahu Gaber, said to a certain shliach, Zil Zavin Li Ara Mi Krevai, go buy a property from one of my relatives. So Azil Zavrin Lei, so he goes out and buys a property for her. Amr Lei Ihavi, so now the mocher, the seller, says to the agent, Ihavi Li Zuze, if I get some money, Mahajus Lei Nehli, I want you to return it back. Give me the land back, I really want the land, and I'll return the money to you. So that's what he says to the Shliach. So Amr Lei, Shliach says, At Vinavla Achi, you guys deal with it. Meaning, I'm staying out of this. You, so the machlok is what navla means. Rashi quotes two opinions. Look at Rashi, last six narrow lines. At v'navla achi, atavihi krovimatem. He says, you and your relative, who I bought for, you guys are relatives, you guys work it out. V'tisratu b'nechem, you guys deal with it. So what's the lashon v'navla? So Rashi says, lashon arami, it's Aramaic. Bein bezachar bein minakeva, kishirot to lomar atavahu, o atavihi kachoriti. It means you and him. That's the navla, that means the two of you together. Rashi says, Ani Omer Shezesh Shema. That was her name. So he's saying to you and Navla, you and him, you guys deal with it, and I'm staying out of this. Fine. So Amar Rabba Barhuna, he comments, Kol At V'Navla Achi, this language, this phrase, Amar Samach Adaita. When you say such a language as a Shliach, so the Mocher Samach Das, that he has the right to, if he gets the money, to buy back his property from his relative, even though he didn't deal directly with the relative, that statement was enough of a smichas das for the mocher to make the, he's only willing to sell the land if he has this buying option. V'lo gamer memaknei, again, samcha v'daita, v'lo gamer memaknei ara, he's not willing to be maknei the land unless he has that right to buy back if he has the money. So that's considered a good tanai. So then the Gemara wants to know, so when the mocher, who's the relative, gets the money and could buy back his land from his relative, who was the lokeach, Hadre Piri Mai. Does he, what about all the fruit that she ate in the interim? So she bought this property, she was eating the fruit for many years, and then her relative says, I got the money back, here's $1 million, return the land back to me. So she returns the land. Now all the fruit that she ate, is that considered ribis? Because she was, in essence, she lent money, $1 million to her relative, and now the relative returned $1 million back for the land. So she got $1 million back, and she also ate all the fruit, all that's all that ribis in the past few years. Does she have to return all that ribis, all the fruits that she ate? So Hadre Pirei Mai, what's the halach? So Gemara says, do we say ribis ketutza havi, v'yotzen b'dayanim? This is a classic case of ribis, where she had borrowing money, or rather she lent money and she had 8 payers on top of that, and she would have to return the money. Odilma ki avik ribis havi v'ein yotze. Maybe that's not really, it was really a sale. And in the end of the day, even though she returned the property for the money, it's really viewed as a sale, and any fruit she ate was only avik ribis, which you don't have to return v'yikirdin. So Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna mistavret makes sense ki avak ribis havi. It's really avak ribis the ein yotzen by dayanim, and you don't have to force her to pay the fruit. The chain Amar Rava ki avak ribis havi the ein yotzen by dayanim. You don't have to force her to pay back the money. So then the Gemara asks Amar le Abaye the Rabba mishkanasamai. What if there's a mashkan? Fine. The previous case we said there was a real sale, and then the mocher bought back his land. But what about it was a mashkon? She says, I have a mashkon, I'm lending you money, but here's the mashkon. And in the interim, the malv of the bank who's holding on to the mashkon eats from the fruit. So what do we say there? When they return the mashkon back, the bank have to give the money back of all the fruit that he ate. So my, hasam taima my, mishim de lo katzle. What's the reason why we said in the above case, when the relative bought the land and sold it back, why did we say it's not considered ribis katsuza? Because ein kate, there was no set price. There wasn't a fixed amount, how much you have to eat. It wasn't decided. Hachanami lo katzle. So here as well, in the case of the mashkon, there's no set price. O dimor, do we say, hasm zvine hachahava? It doesn't depend on whether there's a set amount of money you're collecting. It depends on the context. Was the ribis, was the added payros that were eaten, was it in the context of a sale, or was it in the context of the loan? The previous case of the relatives buying from each other, that was a sale, a buying and a sell. But this case, the mashkon was clearly in the context of a halva. So there is a halva here, but there's also no lokatz. There's no set price in the interest. So we don't know, is it based on halva, or is it based on having a set a fixed interest? So Amar Lei, the Gemara says, Hasam time am I. What's the reason why in the case of the relatives buying and selling, why do we say there is no ribis there? We shouldn't do lokatzle, because there is no set interest. Hachanami, here too as well, lokatzle. So too in the case of the mashkon, since there is no set interest, therefore it's not the problem of ribis Ketutza, and you don't have to return the fruit. So Amar Rapapi, Rapapi said, Ovid Ravina Uvda V'chashiv V'apek Piri Delo Kraba Bar Ravuna. So once Rapapi did such a maisa, and rather Rapapi said that Ravina once did a maisa, he paskined and he considered all the fruit that the bank ate and made him return the fruit he ate on top of that, even though there was low katli, even though they didn't set a fixed interest rate, since it was in the context of a hava, any fruit that the malva ate is required to pay. So in the end of the day, Rashi points out here, there's a machlokas in this Gemara here, versus what we saw earlier on the end of Samach Vavam and Beis. If a person is, there's fruit that are eaten in the context of a halva, but there is no set price on the interest. So earlier we said that you have to return the peros, you would have to return it, even though it's not cuts, but since it's in the context of halva, it's considered ribbis. But here the Gemara says an opinion that no, if it's not cuts, even though it is ribbis, then there is no, it's not considered ribbis ketutza. Okay. We're good still. And the Gemara now says, Amar Mar, Braid Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava. Ha Mishkanasa Ba'asa de Misalke. So let's say there's a mashkel and that's in a place where you can be misalik them. What does that mean? So let's say I owe the bank $1 million and they have a collateral of mine, they're holding on to my property. So if I can be misalik, whenever I get the money, I'm allowed to give the money and get my property back. That's what it means, Ba'asra de Misalke, a place where I could remove them from my mashkel by paying them the loan. So in that case, Ochel Shir Azuze Misalkinale. Let's say the bank is now watching over my property, the mashkon, and they're busy eating fruit. And they ate amount of fruit that amounted to $1 million now. So once they eat amount of fruit that equals what I owe them, Misalkinale, I could just take them off my property and that you ate what I owed you, and now let's call it even now. But Ochel Tvei, if they ate more than $1 million that I owe them, then Lo Mafkinan Mine, then I cannot make them pay the additional amount that they ate. Okay. And the reason why, Rashi explains, because that's considered avak ribis. Avak ribis only, avak ribis is not yotze bidayanam. And furthermore, the Gemara says, velo mechashvinon mishtara lishtara. So let's say we have two different deal documents with each other, two different loans. So let's say they're eating one mashkon for one of the documents, one of the loans, and they eat more in surplus to what I owe them, so I cannot carry over what they ate from that mashkon to cancel out some of the other loan, the other money I owe him in the other loan. That you can't do. And ubediyas finds it, and that's the first din. However, when it comes to bediyasmim, when it comes to yesomim, let's say there's a property of yesomim that the bank has a hold of, and the bank eats achal shir zuze, they ate the amount of money that the yesomim owe them. So then the din is pashit misalkinale. Then you could take the bank off the property, the bank ate the fruit that they're owed by the yesomim, they're removed. And achal tfei, if the bank eats more, the malva eats more than what they're owed, then in the context of a yasom, mafkinamine, we do make the bank pay that additional interest. And Rashi just explains here, because they weren't mochel in that extra eating. The yasomim are not mochel in anything, so they have to return the extra food that they ate. And furthermore, mechashvina and mishtar l'shara, there's also the din that when it comes to, you can carry over, if they did eat extra fruit from one shtar, you can carry it over to the cancel out the other debt on a separate shtar that the bank might have with the yesomim. That's all the first opinion. That's all according to Mar Berei, the Rav Yosef, in the name of Rava. But then comes along Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Hashta the Amr, now that we've established achal tfei, that if they eat more than what they are owed, lo mafkina minei, we don't make the bank pay back the surplus, because we say it's avak ribis. So Rav Ashi takes that to a further degree now. He says, achal shir zuze nami lo misakinale. He says that even if the bank eats the amount equal to what I owe you, even in that case, you cannot force the bank off the property, because Masakin and Lay below Azuze, you can't knock them off the property without paying them money. The peros that they ate is not going to replace the money that I owe them. My time, what's the reason? Because Sluke below Azuze Afuke Minehu, because removing them without paying money, I can't do. Afuke Have Avagribis. Taking the money out is only Avagribis. Vavagribis Eino Yotze Bidayanim. What that means is, if you look at Rashi towards the bottom here, the last Rashi on the page where he says, Lo Misalkinale Below Zuze, you can't kick the bank off my property without paying the money, Achi Tain Lo Kol Shir Maus Mahavaso, until I pay off the debt entirely. V'cheven D'chiachlinu Lahach, since when the bank is eating, Lav B'toris Piron Achlinu, they're not eating it as a form of a collection, Havale Avagribis, it's only Avagribis, Mishas Achila. The moment they begin to eat, that whole eating is considered Avagribis, Veino Yotze Bidayanim. The whole amount, you can have, according to Rashi, whatever they eat can never be viewed as collection. The entire amount of fruit, even though it amounts to the $1 million I owe them, it's all considered Avagribis, and Avagribis, you can never make them pay. says Rav Ashi is mechadishir that you can never kick them off the land unless you pay them the money. So then the Gemara says the last line of Amud Aleph here, Ovid Rav Ashi Uvda B'Yisomim Ketanim. One time Rav Ashi had such a mice and he paskined with regards to Yisomim Ketanim Kigadolim, as if they were Gedolim, which means what? If you look in the Rashi in the top of Amud Beis, Kigadolim V'Afa Gav De Achal Shir Zuzay, even though the Malva ate the amount of fruit that equaled what I owed them, the Yisomim owed them, Lo Misal Kinalei, that wasn't enough to kick them off, even though they're Yisomim, because the Kesavar he holds Mitchilas Achilasam. The moment the bank begins to eat, the whole intention was avagribisu vein koach b'dayarim lautzio. It was all with the intent of having avagribis, but it wasn't in the intent of collecting the money that they are owed. Yeah. Everyone's good? Okay, great. Gemara says, Amar Rava b'reid of Yosef mishmei de Rava. Another statement in the name of Rava. Hai mishkanasa be'asra de misalke lo nichel ela benich yasa. So a mashkon that's in a place, let's say I borrow money from the bank and they take my property as a collateral. So now if it's in a place where if I pay them off the bank, I could get my mashkon back. So then whenever the bank, the malva, decides to eat from this mashkon, they are not allowed to eat unless they take off some of the the loan. What does that mean? So look at Rashi, two lines from the top here. In a place where I could always get my property back if I pay them the loan early, so then if the bank eats from the land, they have to pay money to me. They have to subtract some of the money off the loan. What does that mean? Rashi says, they have to subtract some of the debt. Davar cuts of a set amount of Lashana. Each year we'll take off $10,000 from the loan when we have the right to eat from the fruit. The near kamochalo, it appears in this case like a sale. The yored besafik, and it's a suffik for them. Whether they want to invest in such a thing, because the afilo tilka, even if the property goes bad, v'lohayu yehu ba perus, and let's say there's no fruit to eat, yinachalo osa kitzva. So it's a set price. Now the bank decides, listen, you know, this is a nice property, we're going to take the risk of, we'll take off $10,000 a year on the loan if you allow us to eat the fruit, whatever we want. Now there's a possibility that maybe no fruit will grow that year, so they might be at a loss, but at the same time it's possible a lot of fruit might grow, and there might be $30,000 worth of fruit on that property. So either way, it's viewed as a sale as opposed to collecting interest. That is all permitted way for the bank to eat from the property. If they take off, again, a fixed price, fixed amount each year. But when it comes to it, tzubra mirabanan, afilo b'nichyasa lo nechal. If the Talmud Chacham is the malve, he can't say, listen, I'll pay you, I'll take off $10,000 each year from the debt if you let me eat from the fruit. That would be usur for the Talmud Chacham. Why? So Rashi explains a very interesting din here, that tzurba midirabanan shetzarech liyasha drachov, he has to have a very yasher path. Uleskadesh af b'mutalo, even things that are permitted to him, he has to sanctify and stay far away from anything that looks problematic. Pen yilmadu mimenu lezalza b'isurim, people think, ah, look at the Talmud Chacham, he's taking ribbis here, even though he's really not. You're going to be mezalzel, he's mezalzel in Yisroel, I'm going to be mezalzel in Yisroel. So then, afilu b'nichyasa nami lo nichal. So even if he's going to take off a fixed amount each year, the Talmud Chacham should not have such a agreement. So then the Gemara says, ela b'may nichal. So what would be an example where a Talmud Chacham serving as the malve would be able to eat from the property that he has a mashkin over? Is there ever a situation where he can? So the Gemara says, b'kitzusa, in the case of kitusa. Rashi says the Gemara will tell us what that means in just a second. So hanich l'man damar kitusa shari, that it makes sense if you hold that kitusa actually is permitted, whatever kitusa is. But then we would say, Talmud Chacham ki from kitusa. But el l'man damar kitusa is asira, ma'ik l'memer. But the opinion holds that kitusa is actually asir, so then when is there an example that a Talmud Chacham could eat from a mashkon? So ditmar, so what's a kitusa? Ravina, they have a kitusa sharia, chadamar kitusa isura. So this machlokes, whether this is mutter or asa, we still don't know what it is though. So finally, heichidami kitusa, what is a kitusa? So the amr lay, so the following deal was made. Ad chamish shanim, achilna lay below nichyusa. If you make a deal that the first 5 years, the bank says, I'll eat it without taking any price off the debt. Mikan ve'elach, from that point on, after 5 years, anything that I eat, Shaiminalach, kula pire, all the fruit I eat, whatever I amount, if I eat 10,000, I eat 5,000, whatever fruit I eat, that will be taken off the price. That's one explanation of what a kitusa is. And ikadamri, the other opinion is, no, kitusa is kol below nichusa aser. whenever you eat fruit without having to taking off any amount of the chov, that's vaday asa, that's ribis. Eating fruit without taking off the subtracting the chov, that's definitely ribis, according to Ikadami. Aval heichidami kitusa. So according to Ikadami, what's a kitusa? The amr le ad chameshanim achil ne benichisa. No. The first 5 years I'm going to eat with a set price each year. I'll pay $10,000 per year and I'll eat, whether it be a lot or a little, I'll always take off $10,000 from the debt. But mikan ve'elach, from after the 5th year, shaymin lecha kula piri, then I'll subtract whatever I eat. It won't be a fixed price. Whatever amount of fruit I eat, that's the amount I'll take off the chov. So these are two different structures of what kitusa is.
The second one is for the first 5 years, you're not giving the true value. You're just giving some perceived value of the...
Now you perceive, we made a deal that I'll pay $10,000 set.
Whatever I eat.
Exactly. Whether it be a lot or a little, that's set. Right.
And then afterwards it's for how much you eat.
Exactly. So the question that becomes, the first 5 years, according to the first Mandamar, you were allowed to eat without having to pay anything. It's free fruit. The second Mandamar says, that's also, that's mamish ribis. You can only eat the fruit if you have a set cost, a fixed cost.
This sounds like ribis too. What if it's $100,000 worth of fruit?
No, because Rashi said before, that looks like a sale though. I bought rights to eat from the fruit, and the deal we made was whether it be a lot or a little, it's the rights to eat from the fruit. Right.
But the fact is, we are saying that Torah Merabanan can't do that other thing, can't do this thing.
So let's see that. We have to bring this back together now. Let's see how it all comes together. So now the Gemara says, so man de aser b'kmaisa, the opinion who says the first situation is aser. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Man de aser b'kmaisa, lishna kama. That the first mandamer felt that you are allowed to eat without subtracting any amounts. So the one who thinks that the first structured case of eating without any cost is asr, they would be shari basraisa. They would permit the second case where you would be taking off a fixed price per year. And let's see that a second. And the man da asr basraisa, fine. Now the one who asks basraisa, so now we're saying as follows: if kitsusa is the case of one of these structures here, so then we say a tam chacham would be allowed to eat in that situation. But if you hold man the aser basraisa, do you think that kitsusa is actually aser for tam chacham? Then heichi shari lemeichel. When would a tam chacham ever be able to eat? So whatever definition of kitsusa you use, whether the first mandamer or the second mandamer. So if you hold that's permitted, so then that's when the Tamil Chacham could eat, the Kitusa. But if you hold that Kitusa is Aser, so when could a Tamil Chacham ever eat from Mashkin that he took hold of? Now you guys asked the question before, well, this also seems like Ribis though. How could the Tamil, why is this any better for the Tzurim? If you permit Kitusa, why is this any better than Nichyusa? Isn't Kitusa defined by Nichyasa, by taking off some of the certain amounts?
Also Mashkin that people are going to see, that enjoying.
Yeah, but that would be the case in any situation.
They're not going to know. Saying, look, Manusha, it's either Mutter, it's us. They're not going to know what the deal he made with them.
Yeah, you never know. We have to be very concerned what people observe Turban Rabbanan doing. So if it's structured in such a way, in this last case of a Kitusa, the Gemara suggests that would be permitted because it doesn't look like Ribis. Now, I'm not sure why. Do you have something to say on that, Adam?
No.
I don't know why that's any better, though. Yeah, it's possible since in the end, after the 5 years, it changes into you paying the actual value of what you ate, which is viewed more of a sale as opposed to interest. That looks less like ribis, and therefore that would be more permitted. As opposed to the first case we said, where you would only eat benichusa, that would be a set price per year. And even though I might eat more or less, it still looks a little bit like ribis. Once I structured in such a way where after 5 years, I'm going to be paying for exactly what I ate, exactly, that looks like, even though the beginning part doesn't look like a sale, it looks like a ribis, as long as the second half looks like a sale, that's enough for the chachamim to be able to eat from it. But either way, there's the other opinion that says it's aser for a turba mirabanan to even eat from that. So then when is it permitted, the heichi shari lemecha, when is there a structured agreement that a turba mirabanan may eat? So the Gemara says as follows. It's shari ki mishkanasa de surah. The mashkon that was done typically in surah, the kasev ba, they would say hachi as follows. Mimishalim shania ilan, when these years are complete, tepik ara da blo kasev. Go take the land back. So the way this is structured, it sounds like there's a real sale that took place. Look at Rashi, b'mishalem shanya, the lo mechse kava, this doesn't look like a loan, ela kolokeach heimanu peros, hashanim ha'elu b'maos halalu. But we said that I gave, the bank lent me money. And I said, you can eat the fruit for the next, until all the fruit's done, until 10 years, you can eat all the fruit. So it seems like, even though I'm really borrowing the money, it appears as if the bank bought the rights from me to eat the peros, and that would be a situation where if the Tzubra Mir Durabanan was serving as the Malva, he would be able to eat the fruit from that property. Okay. We're good still? Great. Gemara now says, Rav Papa, Rav Huna Amrei, Rav Yeshua Amri Tevayo, they both hold high Mishkanasa Ba'asa de Misal. Okay? If there's a mashkon in a place where the minag was that if the lova pays back the money, they could get the mashkon back. Ein balchova gova heimanu. The balchova is not allowed to collect. So what does that mean? Let's say I'm the malva holding onto that mashkon. So now I have another balchova who's going to come after me. I'm the malva, but there's another balchova collecting for me. He cannot take that mashkon because at any given day, this lova could retrieve his mashkon by paying me back the money. I don't have a hold of it. I'm just watching over it. So it's not mine where the other balchova could collect for me. Further, ein bechor nota ba pishnayim. Also, that if I have a bechor, if the father dies and he leaves over a bechor, that bechor does not get double portion in that property. It has to be evenly split to everybody else because we hold that a malveh, rather bechor, does not collect pishnayim on a milva, on a loan. He's not allowed to take double portion. He splits it equally with the rest of the brothers. Since I don't really own this land, because again, any given day, the lovik could pay me back the money and take the property back. And further, the shvius misham tasa, since it's really viewed as a milva alone, I don't really have a control of this mashkon. If a shmita comes along and wipes it out, because the halacha is, let's say, I'm owed money and I collect something instead, so then from the payment, then it's protected from shmitas ksafim. But if I don't really make a collection, I'm just watching over this as a mashkon, as a collateral, that doesn't really concretize the halva, and it is going to be vulnerable and affected by the shmitas ksafim. That's all true when it comes to a mashkon be'asa de misalke, where the lova could come and take it back, the land, any day he wants. But if it's an asur de lo misalke, if it's a place where I hold on to the mashkon, and the lova does not have any right to pay me back for it early. We set a time in 10 years, if you pay, I'll give the money back, the property back, but you can't pay up early, so then it's really viewed as being mine for these next 10 years. It's a real sale. So if it's a real sale, then we say the Baal Chov Gova Himanu. Now if I have Baal Chov, he can collect the money from me, this property from me, because it's really a sale. There's nothing a lova could do. It can't take out of my possession. And if the guy dies, u'bechor noto pishnayim, then the bechor will take double portion from this property. And ein shvius misham tasa, the shvius will not cancel out the loan because it's not viewed as a loan, it's really viewed as a sale. Okay, next line. Amar marzucha mishmeidra papa, hai mashkenosa ba'asra de mesalke, in a place where the mashkon can be taken off. If the lova pays early, he could get his mashkon back. So now you could kick off the malva, you could kick off the bank whenever you want, and even from the dates that are avudya. What's betamre davudya? So Rashi says, it's probably lashon of aveda, I think, but look what Rashi says. This is four medium wide lines down. Rashi says, afilu mitamre davudya, kishagodin tamarim shotchin mekatzelas. When you take the dates off the trees, you would spread out these mats, tachas adekalim, below the date trees, venofim atamar malem, they'd fall on top of these mats. And you could just, close them up and take them home. So all the dates that landed on my mats that I was there, the malva could say, wait, rather the lova says, I paid you back the money, get off my property, and those dates that are on your mats, take your mats with you and leave the dates. They're all mine. That's permitted. And then the Gemara says, however, vi'i agbehinu b'sisne k'nineyu. But if the malva who's busy collecting the dates on this property that was just taken away from him, if he picked up the dates and placed them in his baskets, that's considered k'nin hagba. And the lova cannot take those dates away from the malva. Uleman damar kelav shelokeach b'rishus mocher kana lokeach. There is an opinion there that if I'm in your property, you're selling me property, and I have my own kelim, and I'm allowed to use my kelim to put your fruit in my basket or whatever, I'm kone, even though I'm in your rishus. So then afilu dulo agbinu b'sisnei koneneu. Even if I didn't pick, if I'm the malva, even if I didn't pick up fruits and put them in the basket, I simply had them fall on top of my mats, which are my kelim, since you would paskin, kelev shelokeach b'rishus mocher kanelokeach, even those dates that are on the mats, I would get to keep before you kick me off your property. Okay, last piece here, for today at least. Pshita. Ba'asa de Masalke. It's obvious in a place where the lover could always pay the money back to the bank early and send them off as property. Va'amar lo mistakina. And the lover says, you know what? I'm not going, when they made the initial deal, he said, I'm not going to pay up early. We'll make a deal. I won't pay, even though we're in a place where you're allowed to pay up early, I'm not going to pay up early. You could have the property for the next 10 years. Hakamar de lo mistakina. That's pasha that it works, because the fact that they made such an agreement, so the bank has the full rights for the next 10 years. Elabasa de lo mistakina. Let's say it's in a place where you're not allowed to pay up early. So Vamar mistakina. And he says, the lover says, listen, I want to have the option, even though I know we're in a place where this is not normally done, I want to have that option of being able to pay up early and get my property back. So what's the halacha in this case? Do we say, tzarech lemikne minei olo? In order for this to really be binding, do we say that he needs, that the lover needs to make a kinyan to make it binding? Or do we say it's simply dibur ba'alma and then it's a speech and really and nothing works? Or no, the fact that they made such an agreement, even though it's only a verbal agreement, that's binding enough. And if he does pay up early, he would be able to kick the bank off his property early. So what's the psak? So Rav Papa Amar lo tzarech lebikne minei. You don't have to make a kinyan. The very fact that you made this verbal agreement is strong enough to be binding that you can kick him off. But Rav Sheshes Brady of Idi Amar tzarech lebikne minei. You do need to make a kinyan for it to be binding. V'hilchasa tzarech lebikne minei. And the halacha is you need to make a kinyan for it to work, which is interesting just in terms of dinim of the way different county cities works in terms of agreements of real estate. If you're doing something that goes against the minhag of that makom, then you would have to make a kinyan for it to change. Now, I'm not sure why that's different from the previous case. Now, the previous case, it makes sense why the previous case works. If we're in a place where they say you kicked off early, if I was mocha and said, listen, I'm not going to kick you off early, that's I guess, somewhat different than the second case. I don't quite get why it's different, but
Well, in one case, you're expanding your powers. The other ones, you're restricting your powers. Right? If you're to restrict your powers, requires less of it.
Yeah, but that's from the perspective of the lova. But from the malva's perspective, it's the opposite, though. The malva's gaining, he's benefiting in the first case, but he's losing in the second case. So depending whose perspective you're looking at. Right? Because in lova, where I'm restricting my powers, I'm expanding his powers, though, as the malva at the same time.
Why?
Because when I say I won't kick you off the land, that means the bank is getting the benefit here. He's not going to be kicked off for the next 10 years. What?
Or the loan's being paid up.
No, he's saying in the case that if we're in a place where I can pay up early and I won't pay up early, so that's binding. So the question, why is that the case? So I'm restricting my powers as a lover, but the malve he's gaining a benefit.
That's
in
the
that
consequence of you constricting your powers.
Uh-huh.
It's not like that's doesn't have the ability. He's not changing anything.
Right, but if the malve in the second case agrees. If he agrees, then listen, I'm okay with you paying up early. So that's also him agreeing to him restricting his own powers also. Why would that require more of a kinyan? Okay, I'm not sure. All right, either way, we made it in time for that.